Today's scripture is Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray together this morning. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here. And we just ask now that your Holy Spirit just really fill us up, calm our minds, help us to focus on what is before us. We ask, oh God, that the word that comes from your word today really work in us. And I ask that the words that you've given me to speak, Lord, that they may land where you need them to land and do the work you need them to do. I ask this in your name. Amen. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is the birthday of the Universal Church, the Church of Jesus, some 2015 so years ago. It also happens to be the birthday, the 50th anniversary, 50th birthday of this denomination, the United Methodist Church, which was born of a merger between the United Brethren Church, that's where we get united, and the Methodist Church, that's where we get Methodist, so United Methodist Church. But those two churches were both traced their ancestry, their theological ancestry, back to one man, John Wesley. So both of those denominations were Wesleyan, called denominations, and they just joined together in 1968. So anyway, there you go. Happy birthday to both those churches, yeah? Big deal today. It's a big deal today. Birthdays are really great, right? They're celebrations, and they are timed for festivities and for fun. That's why we have all this kind of stuff. But birthdays also are milestones that kind of raise questions, right? They raise important questions about where we have been in our lives and maybe where we see ourselves going. I had a big birthday about a year and a half ago. I had my 60th birthday, and it really brought up big questions for my family. The question for them was, now what do we do now that he is 60 and he has everything that he needs? Which I probably could have debated if they'd asked me. But they didn't. But I'm kind of glad they didn't, because what they did, they didn't get me a thing for my birthday. They fulfilled kind of a dream. They got me an experience that I'd always wanted. I'd always wanted to go to Disneyland for 2 days with my family and stay at the Grand Californian, right? And I mean, nobody does birthdays like Disneyland, right? Has anybody ever been to Disneyland on your birthday? It's awesome. They give you a big button that says, it's my birthday. And it's got your name on it. So everybody's wishing you happy birthday all day. It makes you feel pretty special, you know? I went into the hotel. They said, would you like us to take your bag, sir? I said, why are you asking? Of course. It's my birthday, you know? So birthdays are awesome. They make us feel good. But they also bring up these big questions in our lives, what I call now-now questions. Now-now questions. Questions like, now what do I do now that I'm 60? Now what do I do now that I'm retired? Now what do I do now that I'm graduated? Now what do I do now that my kids are struggling in a new way? Now what do I do now that I've made more money than I ever thought I would make? Now, what do I do now that I just want more out of life? Now questions. Now questions. Well, I think in all of history, No one had more pressing and unique and monumental now questions than those disciples did, as we've been talking about the last few weeks. Those disciples, those followers of Jesus, especially in those days right before and then those weeks right after the crucifixion, the death of Jesus, right? We talked about how they all came into Jerusalem together to celebrate the Passover, and they went up into the upper room with Jesus, and right away they're confronted with a big now question. Now what are we going to do now that Jesus says he's going to leave us? In fact, he says he's going to die. And then Jesus is arrested, and then he is tried, and then he is tortured, and then he is killed on a cross, and then his body is put into an unmarked tomb, and they have to ask themselves the next question. Now what do we do? Now that Jesus has died. But then 3 days later, right, they start hearing reports of open tombs and angelic visits and sightings of Jesus, and then they see Jesus, and they touch him, and they eat with him, and now they have a whole big new now question. Now what do we do now that Jesus has risen from the dead? Now what do we do now? Well, Jesus answered that one for them last week, remember? He took the disciples a little while later and others, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and others, and they went up to a hillside near Bethany. And there Jesus blessed them. And then he began to bodily, in his resurrection body, rise up into the heavens. And as they were watching him go, Jesus says, now, what you should do now is wait. Wait for the power that God is going to send you. Well, that must have just sent shivers, right? And they did exactly what Jesus said, which is a good thing to do. Now, I'm not the first one to ever say this. People say this all the time. But, you know, when a guy predicts his own death and resurrection and then pulls it off, it's a good idea to listen to what he says. So they go and they do what he says. They go to wait with this big question. Now what do we do? Now that Jesus has asked us to wait for this thing, this power. But the way that they wait is really interesting. They don't just go and wait twiddling their thumbs or doing their whatever they did in those days for, you know, free time. What they do is they go to the temple and they begin to pray and praise God. And they go to the temple, they're praying and they're praising God with this kind of excitement and this kind of confidence and this anticipation of what is going to happen. And that must have freaked the people at the temple out. Because remember, part of the knock on the temple and the whole temple worship thing was that it had become kind of stale and routine, right? There wasn't a whole lot of joy there. There wasn't a whole lot of excitement there. There wasn't a whole lot of hope there, right? It was like going to Dodger Stadium these days. You know, there just wasn't a whole lot to look forward to. No Dodger fans today? Used to be Dodger fan now. They did win yesterday. But they go with this kind of anticipation. They're just so excited. They can't wait to see what God is going to do. So they're praising and they're praying to God in the temple. Then they go to the upper room where they're all hanging out together. And they're praying and they're praising there. And they go back to the temple. They're praying, they're praising, they're praying, they're praising both places, right? And then one day, on the Pentecost Sunday, on this one day, the answer to their big question, what do we do now that Jesus has asked us to wait, is answered. When this wind starts blowing inside the house. The wind inside the house. And they're all looking around like, who left the door open? Who left the window open? But they're all closed. The wind is just blowing and circulating inside the house. Can you imagine if a wind just started coming in here and it's whipping around and they could hear it and they could see it kind of blowing each other's hair and everything? But that wasn't even the best part. The wind is blowing and then they're looking at each other and they see over each other's heads kind of lights, you know, that they describe as tongues of fire, like sharp kind of lights just kind of touching down on each other's heads. And then, even better, just as they open their mouths probably to say to each other, what's that light on your head? The words come out in other languages. Languages they have no business speaking. It's like if I just started all of a sudden coming out with, you know, Italian. Even though, okay, that might not surprise you. If I came out with German, right? Just like crazy stuff. crazy stuff. And as they're experiencing this wind and these visions of light and these words coming out of their mouths that they have no idea what this is all about, they feel this confidence and this power that's kind of building up inside them. It just makes them feel like they just want to explode. And that's what they do. They explode out of this room with this excitement that God is, I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing what he said he was going to do. And they go outside this room, and it's so awesome because it happens to be, you know, Pentecost was a Jewish holiday. It was a pilgrimage day. People from all over the known world, Jews in the diaspora, had gathered in Jerusalem. So they were from all over the place. They had different cultures and different languages. And as they're standing there and they're wondering why they're hearing wind coming from inside this house, then all the disciples come bursting out, and Peter comes out with this beautiful declaration. He stands there and he says, God says, I will pour out my spirit on my people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men, they'll see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. And Peter's like, giving out with this stuff, right? But everybody in the crowd, all of those people from all over the place, guess what? They're hearing it in their own language. Hello. And that, my friends, was the day that the church, not even a church, the movement of the Christian life was born. The Christian church was born that day. The people began to ask themselves this new now question. Now what do we do? That the Holy Spirit has been poured out onto us. That this birthday presence of the Holy Spirit has been given to all people. All people. So that now all people, hey, hello, can tap into the mind and the heart of God. Huh. Now what do we do? Now that our dreams and our visions that can be kind of meager and just kind of short-sighted can really become the dreams and the visions that God has for you and for me and for this world. Now, what do we do now? In fact, the answer to all our big now questions comes down to the new now question. Now, what do we do now that the Holy Spirit has come? The Holy Spirit has come to help us dream God's vision, dream God's dreams, see God's vision. Now, what do we do? I heard a story about a little tiny town in Texas called Possum Trot, Texas. 700 people in this town. And they have a little tiny church. At the time, this was in 98, I think. They had maybe 80 families in their church. Little church in a tiny town. But the wife of the pastor in this church, she had a big now experience. Her mother passed away. And it was kind of hard because as much as she missed her mother, the whole community missed her because she was one of those community mothers, you know. You ever known one of those? This little tiny town, she had her house open to anybody who would come by, especially kids, especially children. It was open. So the whole town was grieving the loss of Donna's mother. But Donna couldn't get over it. It just was weighing her down, this loss of her mother. She couldn't get past it. She kept asking herself, now what do I do now that my mother is gone? She prayed, she praised God, but she just, this emptiness was in her. It was hard for her. One day she came out with this prayer. She said, Lord, if you can't take away this burden of my loss of my mother, then just take me, because I've had it. Well, in that moment, something amazing happened. She said she heard the voice of God. Heard the voice of God in her heart, the Holy Spirit's urging in her heart, and it said two words, give back give back. And she knew then, she had like this epiphany that the Holy Spirit was asking her to foster and to adopt and to raise children. Now, this is something that she and her husband had never thought they would ever do. In fact, they didn't think there was much of a need for it in their little community, in their little town that they had grown up in. People took care of each other. If a child lost a mother or lost a father, there was an aunt or an uncle, there was a grandmother. People were taken care of. But as they went through this process of finding a way to adopt a child, they found that the need was just over the top. There were thousands of kids who didn't have a stable and loving home. Well, finally, they were able to adopt a 5-year-old Mercedes and a 3-year-old Tyler, both of whom had seen and witnessed the murder of their mother in a drug deal that went bad. They took them in and they began to raise them, to give them a solid home, to give them love, to give them the discipline they needed. And over time, Mercedes and Tyler, they lost their fear. They began to overcome the ill effects of their upbringing. But that isn't even the end of the story. As others in that tiny little church and that tiny little town began to catch the vision, of WC and Donna, the Holy Spirit began to blow a mighty wind through that town, just began to work through that town, and couple after couple, person after person began to stand up and volunteer to go ahead and take in foster children themselves, to take in and adopt people themselves. So many that the office that was 120 miles away that would train people to be adoptive parents, they moved their operation temporarily down to Possum Trot. There were so many people that were turned on by the Holy Spirit that in the end, 76 children in a town of 700, where 16% of the people there are living under the poverty line, 76 children were adopted and raised. 76 children in a little tiny church of 80 families. 76 children whose lives were changed, whose hearts were healed, who were rescued. From a life of despair, a little tiny town, big wind of the Holy Spirit. The pastor said later, he said, you know, God was showing us that he has a purpose for these children's lives. And I think that purpose was to show us a kind of love that we never imagined. We didn't know anything about. A God kind of love. Holy Spirit working in this little town and these little people with a big, big wind and a big dream and a big vision for what they could do. What do we do now that the Holy Spirit is among us, now that the Holy Spirit can help us tap into God's dreams for us and God's vision for us? It's the question that is perennial for the church, the universal Christian movement that looks out on a world that sees such a need for a word of grace, such a need for the salvation of Jesus Christ. It's the question for our denomination, the United Methodist Church, as we are at a real crossroads, friends, these days. As this denomination decides how and whether we're going to continue to live out our historic doctrines and faith. As this denomination decides what is the role and the authority of Scripture in our lives. As this denomination struggles with how are we to respond to an increasingly secular culture with grace, with an offer of healing and salvation that is so needed today. It's a question that is for you and for me and for this church. Now, what do we do now? Now, what do we do now that the Holy Spirit has come? May we take that gift that's given to us free of charge, pour it out upon us like a big birthday present, and let it lead us to find those answers for ourselves. All right, let's pray. Hello, Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here, and we are so grateful for your holy presence. We ask, O God, that indeed you come into those places in our lives where we are making decisions about where we want to go as a church and where we want to go as individuals. Lord, let us reach out with all that we have, with expectation, with confidence, with excitement about what you will do and can do in our lives, whatever that may be. Let it be so true for us, oh God, that the answer to our big now questions is you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.